Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
If you've got your Bible with you, you can turn, and if you don't, if you're paper allergic or whatever your issue is, and now you're totally digital, then we'll have it on the screen. But let's look in Ecclesiastes. Now, we're going to read Ecclesiastes out of probably New King James Version. And then we're going to read Romans 8:28 out of the Passion Translation. And I might just recommend to you the Passion Translation. It's only the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs right now. But it is a great read. It's a neat translation. And what it's done is they've really come out of the Aramaic, not that it matters to some of you, but they've come out of the Aramaic with a lot of the definitions of the word instead of just drifting it out of the Greek where you have four or five words that works for something. And so it really gives you a good understanding of Scripture. So let me just recommend the Passion Translation. How many of y'all have the YouVersion of the Bible on your electronic device? Okay, right? So it has the Passion Translation in it, so just heads up for that. Let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the thought I want to give today is purpose or perks? Purpose or perks? And let me tell you why we're going there. Because there's a lot of people that want the perks instead of the purpose. There are a lot of people that knew the purpose, but the perks were so good that they've forgotten the purpose and now they live for the perks. How many of y'all know what a gold digger is? Okay. A gold digger is a chick that wants to marry a dude not because she loves him and wants a relationship, but because she loves his stuff. She loves his money. She loves his cars. She loves his gold. She loves that part of him. And they're called a gold digger in that the marriage was never about relationship, but it was about what I can get from. And I'm going to say this to you. We don't want to be gold diggers in the kingdom of God. We want to remember the purpose we're even in the kingdom of God, the purpose of the love of God. And I'm just going to hit you with this even before we get started, but I'll just say this to you. There's one thing, the love of God you can never get rid of. Hitler was loved by God. I know you don't like that. Osama bin Laden was loved by God. He was loved by God up until he was shot. He's loved by God in hell. God cannot not love. He loves everybody. Now, I'm going to help some of y'all. You need to get over your mess. I bet you don't love somebody because they did you wrong. You need to make up your mind that God loves them. I don't care what they did to you. No, now God can't love a rapist. God loves everybody. The problem we have as believers is we mix up the love of God with the grace of God. Grace of God ain't for everybody, y'all. Because the Bible says you can fall away from that. You can walk away. See, you're not amening right now. Because we've got a good teaching on grace. We've heard a lot about grace and how grace makes us free. I'm going to tell you, we're going to deal with that today because we need to get back to the purpose instead of just the perks. Amen? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can speak in tongues. Wrong. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can have the nine gifts of the Spirit and you can prophesy and you can heal the sick. Wrong. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said you're going to be filled with the Spirit that you won't be left as an orphan because I can be with you by the Spirit and you'll receive power. The power is a general term for us living for God successfully in this world. Are there gifts? Sure, they're gifts. Are they fun? They're wonderful. But the purpose was never about the gifts. It was about the power and presence and relationship of God. So we got to quit gold digging, y'all. You tracking me? Okay, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Because there is a purpose for everything. The Bible says it this way. To everything, say everything. Okay, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time and a purpose of God. God's got you in a time and God has a purpose for you. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. This is in the Passion Translation. And so I love this translation. Here's what it says. It says it this way. So we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. Let me say this to you. It doesn't matter how bad you're in an issue right now, God has a purpose in that. If I can say it another way, how can God let something bad happen? God's not just, God, obviously bad things happen. We're in a fallen world. We're all going to have issues. And you're going to say, well, why does God have that happen? I need to be asking myself the question, if something bad's happening, how am I going to work at the end of this, not at what I'm doing in it? I believe God's going to bring me out of it, but I believe even in a bad thing, God can have a purpose in it. See, we don't want to amen that. But you got to read the 50th chapter of Genesis when Joseph is in Egypt and he's second to Pharaoh. Y'all do remember Joseph, right? Do you remember he was 22 years getting from a pit to the throne room and to the place he was in, the position he was in. And a lot of that, 17 of those years, were spent in prison. And what did he tell his brothers when he met them? They were scared, right? And he looked at them and he said, what you meant is evil. What you meant as evil, God meant for good, that I would be exalted to a place and He could save many. And I'm just saying this to y'all right now. Instead of you whining about your bad place right now, you need to be believing God will get you out of it. You need to be reading the Word of God and finding promises that will get you through this issue. But you don't need to be blaming God and getting mad at Him about the issue. He will work this thing together. I don't know how He does it, but He works it together, and He will get the glory in the end. So we need to find out the promises and the perks of God and make sure we don't get the perks in front of the promises. So here's some thoughts I've got for you right now. Just quickly, we'll dive through a few of them. God does nothing by happenstance or accident. God has never had a hypothesis. You need a hypothesis, right? A hypothesis is an educated guess. That is the truth. If someone has got a high education, but they don't know the issue, but they have a hypothesis. We read people's hypothesis and think it's the truth. It's an educated guess, and God's never had one. He's never not had a plan. He's never done anything by accident. He didn't accidentally create Adam. God doesn't have a better idea than you. Look at me. God ain't got ideas. He doesn't have to think something up. He is God right by Himself. He's already known from the beginning what the end looks like. He's in eternity, and I don't get this. It's far beyond me, but He stands at the beginning, but He's also at the end. For us, He's in two places because we're in this three-dimensional, we're in a time frame. He's in eternity, so He can be in front and in back at the same time. So I'm just saying this to you. He doesn't have a better idea because He doesn't have ideas. Listen to me. God doesn't sit around and think. You think because you've got to figure something out. He's already got it figured out. There's no figuring to Him. There's no thinking to Him. He is God right by Himself. He knows everything yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He's not going to change yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is God. That ought to make you feel good. Man, I'm in a bad place. You got a God that's never been in a place that He couldn't get you out of. Now, another thing too about God, He doesn't take a day to figure it out. You know, that's what we do. Someone calls us and wants something. We say, will you give me a day to think about it? Or will you give me a day to pray about it? God doesn't have to pray about it or think about it. He's ready already. Is this making sense to you? So we need to understand He's got a purpose. Now, the purpose in the noun form of the word purpose, it is the reason for which something is done or created or which something exists. You need to remember your born-again experience isn't about you dodging hell and getting to heaven. The purpose of salvation is relationship. It is relationship. I shouldn't have to want to pray because I gotta pray. I should want to pray because it's a part of my relationship. So dealing with a purpose, it's a reason for which something is done or it's created or it exists. So if we don't know God's purpose for us and we don't know that He's got a purpose for us. The problem is we'll start thinking our lives don't matter. People don't kill themselves because they have no purpose. Because they have a purpose, they kill themselves because they feel like there is no purpose. Because if you don't have any purpose, then you don't think much of yourself. You'll allow any whim, any idea come against you, and you'll believe it if you don't know there's a purpose for you. Does that make sense to you? You've got to understand that God understands and loves you, and there is a purpose for our lives. If you lose the vision of God's purpose for His presence or His power, then our tendency is to fall into pride. If I don't understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is not for me to show out, then I've got to understand He's here and His power and His anointing is for His presence and relationship. If I get it on His stuff, then I'll end up in pride. And excuse me just a minute, I'm old enough to have known people. I'm old enough to have remembered evangelists and preachers. And those that I don't remember, I've read about. That you go through the healing revivals of the 40s, and I'm going to say this to you, about three or four of those great healing evangelists lived for God their entire life. The majority of them fell to sin. Excuse me just a minute, there's something wrong with that, y'all. They had this anointing, they were laying hands on the sick, they were cast out the devil, they were raising the dead. But I'm going to say this to you, anytime you get your eyes on His perks instead of His purpose, you can end up away from Him in pride. Y'all still tracking me? You've got to keep Him there. You start raising the dead, you start thinking, I'm pretty good at this. Look at the anointing on me. And because you listen to what other people tell you, they look at you and say, well, you're so anointed. We want you to touch us. Don't let the associate pastor to touch you. We want the real guy to touch us. We want the pastor to pray for us. Let me tell y'all something. We're going to have an anointing team up here and a prayer team into this service in just a few minutes. And I'm going to say right now, I may have preached this stuff, but they're just as anointed as anybody else in this room. That they know the presence of God. When they lay hands on you, I believe God's going to do something for you in a mighty way. And it doesn't matter whether it's me or them. As a matter of fact, at our church, I seldom lay hands on people and pray for them. Why? Because we've got elders that will do that. Sonny and Linda are elders in our church. We let them do it. Well, what if the people don't get an answer? They're going to get an answer. God's going to meet their needs. Because I believe that the purpose of God is going to be activated in their lives of these elders. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say right now? If I get in my mind I'm the only one can do it, then I'm going to fall into pride. And pride will end in destruction. There ain't two ways to cut that cake. So let me give you some ideas on I'm just going to run through these scriptures on purpose. Number one, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. In 1 Peter 2, the Word of God says this. Says you're chosen. It says you're royal. It says you're holy. And it says you're special. Excuse me just a minute. I don't care what they told you at school. I don't care what your mom and daddy told you. I don't care what the police told you. Let me say it one more time. The Word of God says that you are chosen. You're a chosen people. God loved you enough to choose you. He looks at you as a royal priesthood. You're not just a somebody that walked up in church today. Now, you may be, I don't know, dressed in shorts and tennis shoes or however you're dressed today. It's not about what's out here. It's about who you are in here. And I'm looking at a royal priesthood. I'm looking at a chosen people that God loves. I'm going to say this to you. According to Scripture, you're a holy nation and a special possession. And the Bible says you are that because. What am I that for? To praise Him. I'm all of these things, not to be special. I'm all of those things that's the purpose, that I might praise Him. That I might be with Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I've been made that for a purpose. Acts 13:36 says it this way, and David served the purpose of God, and then he died. There are people now telling me, well, I'm going to live to be 80 years old. You know if I'm going to be 80 or not. Well, I'm going to live, the Bible says that I can live to be 70 and if by strength 80. Or some people told me, I'm going to live to be 120. First of all, y'all, heads up. I've been around those 90 years old. That way, if I were them, I'd just soon be with Jesus. I'm just saying. Not that I would ever kill myself, but the goal of living here is to get with Him. So my living is always moving toward His presence. And I'm not worried about when I'm going to die. Well, you need to be concerned about it. I'm going to say this to you. If I'll do the purpose of God, if I'll do the purpose of God, then there's coming a day I can draw my feet up in bed and go home to be with Him, and I'm totally happy right there. I'm not going to be whining about when I'm going. I'm going to believe I've done the purpose of God. If I don't feel like I've done it, I can rebuke death and stand against it. And if you want me to pray for you and you're in the hospital, I'll pray for your resurrection. I'll pray for your healing. But if you tell me I've done the purpose of God and I'm ready to go, I'll just bless you and let you go. Amen? There are people that I know that have just walked out of the presence of us to get into His presence because they were done here. But we don't know the purpose of God, so it bothers us a little bit. Let me say something else. Colossians 1:16 says this, that everything in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones and powers, rulers and authorities, were created in Him and for Him. So let me say something. He created everybody for Him. But they're not serving Him. I don't care what they're doing. He created them for Him. But they're in rebellion. I understand that. But they're created for Him. This is why I can pray for their salvation. Why? Because I know their purpose was to serve Him. You don't know how bad they are. Don't have to know how bad they are. I know they were created to serve Him. Matter of fact, you read your Bible in Isaiah 43, the Word of God says, verses 4 and 6, says this. He says, you call to them that are away. You call to them that are bound. You call to them. You face the north, the south, the east, and west, and you call them by my name. Yeah, but my son's a sinner in jail and on drugs or whatever. Or, you know, my daddy is whatever. I understand what you're saying, but here's what I want to tell you. God called them by His name. I see you not amen. You should amen right there. You need to thank God that He needed you in your mama's womb. You didn't come here by accident. Amen. I'm not pro-life because I'm worried about a murder scheme. I'm pro-life because God knitted that baby together. Amen, y'all. God did that. So I'm going to say this. He did that to everybody, and everybody was created for Him. According to Scripture, that's the purpose of the birth of a baby. Gideon. Can I pick on Gideon? I guess so. He's asleep. So Gideon over here has a purpose. He wasn't born to make mom and daddy happy. He was born for God's pleasure. He was born called of God. That Gideon right over there has a purpose in the kingdom of God. And we adults need to buy into that, that those kids in children's church, they are there right now learning the Word of God, but they ought to be hearing it from us and seeing it us because they have a purpose to fulfill. God called them. I don't care how much they agitate you. Proverbs 19:21 says this way, and I love this. Many are the plans of a person's heart. Boy, we know that one. Many are the plans of a person's heart. But the Bible says it this way. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Here's what I know. I can have a lot of plans, but at the end of the day, I'm saying, God, you do it. Now, let me say something to you very quickly. We built this stage right up here. Your pastor and some other of us built this, put these walls up, put the tent up, built this, put the lights in, and we're ready to stay here as long as God wanted. We did it because there's a purpose. His purpose wasn't just to stay here, but now that we're here, His purpose is that we go to another location, and I'm excited about that. Our plan was we'll do the best we can right here. His purpose is I'm going to take you over there. You take care of what I've given you here, and I'll put you somewhere else. You make the best out of where you are right now, and I'll give you something better. God has a purpose. If we'll know that our plan, we got to have a plan. We're trying to find the Word of God and the will of God for the plan of God for our lives, for our church. But God says, I got a purpose bigger than that. This used to be a saloon anyhow. Still is, of sorts. But I'm just saying, God has a purpose. We can have a plan, but He's got a purpose. Psalms 33:11 says this, the plan of the Lord stands firm forever. I love that. His plan won't change. The purposes of His heart through, listen to this, the purposes of God's heart is through all generations. Oh, hallelujah. See, right there, you missed another amen. My children and grandchildren, I know I've got some other grandparents right here, but our heart is this, that it's not salvation isn't just for us as the old folks, and it's not just for our children, but we believe that the plan and purpose of God will come from us, go through our kids, down to our grandkids. Gideon, hey buddy, the purpose of God's going to flow through you because of your mom and daddy, because they understand the purpose is for them, but it's every generation. Finding the purpose of God, not just the perks of God. Isaiah 46, 10, and 11. Am I giving y'all too much word? I'd like to hope not. Isaiah 46, 10, and 11 says this, I've made known from the end to the beginning. I love that about God. I love it about God. It's easy to start the beginning to the end. But God starts at the end and comes to the beginning. He said, I've declared, right now, you miss a good, y'all miss these amens all over the place. I'm in a bad situation. You don't know how bad this is. Okay, stop. Just put it on pause just for a minute. God speaks from the end. You're here. You started in this back here. God doesn't start talking at the beginning and say, I hope I can help you out. He speaks from the end. You're still in it, but baby, he's already over here. And he's saying, come on, I've got a purpose for you. I'm pulling you through this. He's already, he declares the end from the beginning, from the end. He goes to the end first and calls it back to us. Listen to what he says here. He says this, he does this from the ancient of times, things that are not even done yet, saying, listen to what he says, my purpose shall stand and I'll do my pleasure. Calling a bird from prey from the east. Here, listen to this. The man who execute my purpose from a far country. Indeed, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. Therefore, I will also do it. So I'm going to tell you right now, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You don't know what I'm going through. Don't have to. I'm declaring the end from the beginning. God started calling you that before your mama knew your daddy. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? God called you an overcomer before you were born. He didn't start when you came and said, he looks like he can win. She looks like she can really do well. God called you and said, I've got a purpose. Yeah, but what if something tragic happens? I don't understand that. We've had people, got a man in my church, one of our elders, he had a daughter die. One of his daughters, she was in her 20s. She's a mom. I had, I think, maybe two kids. And she passed away. And he stayed in the room 2 hours pleading the blood of Jesus and calling for resurrection. And the doctor stayed out for 2 hours while he, I think it was 2 hours, and he prayed and called for God to raise her up, and God didn't do it. And he had to stand up and wipe his eyes and make up his mind that God is not done. He may not understand it today, but there comes a day when he'll get it. I didn't say God killed her. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God has a plan and a purpose, and it's bigger than our understanding. Making sense to you yet? All right, so let me give you this. We tend to misuse the object. We tend to misuse the purpose or the object if we forget the purpose. Let me just say this to you on giving. Y'all give. Listen, giving is good, but I don't give to get. Oh, are you going to say that the windows of heaven don't open? No, they do open. Do you say if you'll give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men give? Oh, yes, I believe that, but let me say something. My giving is not about getting. And whenever my giving becomes not the purpose anymore, but the perk, then I'm in trouble. It's good to have the perk, but my purpose for giving is that I've got a God that I've got a relationship with, and he said 10 cents out of every dollar is mine, and if you want to live on a cursed 100, you can, but if you want to live on a blessed 90, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'd rather have a blessed 90 than a cursed 100. I mean, if I've got a choice to make about tithing, but my tithing is about relationship, not about a perk. Well, I paid my tithe and I lost my job. Dude, your tithe wasn't about your job, it was about relationship. If you lose your relationship because you lost your job, you're not going to make it. You got to make up your time that God's with you, good, bad, or ugly. The gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to belabor the point, but I just want to say this to you. You better keep in mind the gifts of the Spirit are given to us to help us. They are tools. They are tools, but they are not His presence. They are not relationship with Him. They are tools for ministry. Amen? Jesus said, I won't leave you orphans. I will send back the Spirit. He will be with you, and He'll be in you. So it's all about relationship. Do we have those gifts? Absolutely. Do we preach about them? Yes, I do. Do we believe in them? Of course we do. But I don't let the perks be more important than the purpose. He is the Parakletos. He is the one called alongside to help us, to be with us. He is who Jesus said would keep us from being orphans. So I want to keep that right. How many of y'all know the purpose of a knife? Okay. Two. So purpose of a knife. So my grandkids learn the purpose of a knife. They'll open one of my knives. I have a box of knives. And they challenge each other for when I die, they want them. And that's the truth. And I know that's morbid to some of y'all, but not to those kids. So they'll get out a knife. And the question is, can I open the knife? Sure, you can open the knife. But let me just say something to you. It is sharp. It will cut your finger off if you let it close on it. So they have an understanding that this knife has a purpose, and it's not about playing with and opening and closing because it's very sharp and has a purpose. And my wife says, do you have a knife? And my response to her is, got my pants on. If I got my pants on, I got a knife. Here's what I'm saying. You got to keep the purpose right. I can't use this as a play toy. This has a purpose, right? And it's for cutting. That's why it's sharp. Sharp knives seldom cut people. Dull knives cut them all the time. Let me back and ask you another thing. How many of you know the purpose of an icy or a slushy? It ain't brain freeze. Just heads up. It's to cool you off. It's to refresh you. How many of y'all have ever had brain freeze? Raise your right hand. Yeah. That wasn't the purpose. But if we don't understand the purpose of something, we can have a problem with it, and it works for anything of God. Remember the purposes. The purposes of hardship, and I know we don't like it. I've already told you about hardship, but that was Joseph. If he had a whine and said, I'm quitting God, and I'm in jail, and nobody likes me, and look what my brothers did to me. If he whined like some of us, he had never gotten to the end and said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. What you set me up for, God meant for. I know you're not going to amen this, but some of y'all that have come through a sickness, and you're going to say, man, I just came through one of the most horrid sicknesses, one of the most degrading situations in my life and in a physical condition, and I'm on the other side of it. I'm going to say this. If you'll stop about 3 seconds and say, God, exactly what was all of this, and why did I come through this? He will begin to reveal some things to you. There's some understanding that God will give you. There's some strength and anointing God will give you. So I'm going to say this to you. If you're in a tough time, don't quit God, because He's for you. And you'll get to the end and be able to look back and tell the devil, what you meant is evil. What you brought against me is evil. God meant it for good. He took everything you did and He's bent it for my sake. And I'm at the end of it and I'm the victor and you're still the loser. Amen, y'all. The purpose of the perks. You better get the purpose. Just saying. Job 42, 1 through 6, Message Translation. Another great translation. Not as good as the Passion, but it's okay. This is Job at the end of his life. Now, no. What time is it? I'm good. Okay. What time do I start preaching? Okay, cool. I get worried about these things. When I can't, if I could see y'all a little bit better, I wouldn't worry about you so much. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, right. We're going to go eat watermelon anyway, right? Remember, Job didn't blame God, but he credited God for the death of his 10 children. He credited God for the loss of all of his animals. He credited God for the loss of his health. Listen closely to me. He said, God did this, and God did this, and he credited God. But the Bible says this. He never blamed God. Now, there's a fine line I'm going to help you with right here. A fine line. We know that wasn't God. We looked behind the curtain, didn't we? What's her name in Kansas?
Dorothy.
We look behind the curtain, so we know who's back there. We read the Bible with hindsight bias. Which means you've made your mind up before I preach it because you know it was the devil. But I want you to get back to where Job was. He did not know that was the devil. He said, God, you're doing this. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but my Bible says he worshiped God. My Bible said he told his wife, woman, keep your mouth shut. We're not going to curse God in this. I'm not going to quit God because I've had a problem. Listen to me. We know what the devil does. He did not understand it, but made up his mind. My purpose is to serve God and worship God regardless of the problems. You know it's the devil. You know it's the fall of Adam. Job didn't have a clue. But here's what he said at the end. I love this. I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. Really, you think? Nothing and no one can upset your plans. This is old Job. You ask, who is this muddy in the water? Ignorantly confusing the issue like we do. Listen to this. Second guessing my purposes. I admit it. I'm the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me. I made small talk about wonders way over my head. Let me stop and say this. Some of your whining is just small talk about stuff you don't understand. Come on, somebody, help me right here. Some of my words right now are just muddy in the waters, not making anything better. Back up and say it another way. Your whine is not going to change the wine. You're getting what you got. Let's move forward. I babbled about things far beyond me. I made small talk about the wonders way over my head. You told me, now God's speaking, you told me, listen and let me do the talking. That's God. Listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. How many of y'all know we're the ones asking why and what, and we've always got a question? God said, why don't you let me ask a question? Maybe we ought to shut up a little bit and listen to Him. Find out what He's asking. All right, track me on this one. Here's what God says. I'll ask the questions and you give the answers. I admit I once, this is Job again. I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand. From my own eyes and ears. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do it again. I'll never do what? I'll never live by rumors. Because Aunt Sally said. Look what Aunt Sally said. I'll never do it again. I promise, Job says. I'll never again live on crust of hearsay and crumbs of rumor. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but you need to get a word from God. Amen. And not some jerk at your job that doesn't serve God that has all the answers. There's always somebody on the news or somewhere at your job that has an answer of why God's doing what He's doing. I'm going to tell you, I don't want their crumbs. I'd rather have the loaf of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I don't need crumbs. I need Jesus. Amen, y'all? So I'm going to say this. I'm not going to let problems stop me. I'm going to understand that. Here's another thing about on the grace of God. Very quickly, you need to keep the principle of grace. Some of y'all don't get this, but listen to me. God cannot not love you, but the grace of God is extended to you, but that's something you decide. Grace is you getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is you not getting what you do deserve. Right? Mercy is when you need to be knocked out and you're not. Grace is when you get it and you didn't deserve it. But let me say, both of those are our options. Those aren't God's options. He offers them to everyone. You're going to say, I don't believe that. I'm just going to read you Scripture. You need to keep the purpose of grace foremost in your mind. The Bible says it this way, 2 Peter 3, 16-18. Peter's take on the people that have misused Paul's revelation of grace, and he said this. He said, they've taken the grace of God and they've twisted it and used it for sin like they've done all of the Scripture. So let me help some of y'all that say, I'm under the grace of God and I can do anything I want to. If I want to go out and drink, I can go drink. If I want to, you know, be shacked up with somebody, I can because God loves me and the grace of God. God does love you, but the grace of God doesn't cover your sin. The grace of God, the grace of God, there's no place in your Bible that the grace of God says God allows you through grace to sin. Well, in the church I come from, you ain't there. Jude 4 says it this way. Certain men have turned the grace of God into lewdness. They took the grace of God. And this is two writers of your New Testament so far that have said the grace of God can be messed with. You can use the grace of God to do bad stuff and think you're getting away with it. I'm going to help you right now, baby. You're loved by God, but the grace of God did not uncover your sin for you to continue in sin. There's no place in your Bible where you can continue in sin. If I sin, the grace of God is there. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. If I choose to continue in sin, then I've got a problem of twisting the grace of God. Let me read it from another thought. This is Titus 2:11-13. Matter of fact, let me just read it. Let me Titus 2. Titus is after 2 Timothy 2. Listen to this. Do I have it over here? For the grace of God that brings salvation to us appeared to all men, teaching us that... What does it teach us? What does grace teach you? Say it out loud. Okay, let me ask it again. What does the Bible say grace teaches you? Okay. It also says, we'll hang right here, but it also says in the Passion Translation, the grace of God teaches us to say no. Say no. Okay, the grace of God, the same grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. I'm helping you right now. I've got to get a no to ungodliness. Here's what it says. No to ungodliness and world passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and a godly life in this present world. So it teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when? Now, in this present age. So for those of you all that would tell me, you don't understand the perks of grace, baby. Get under the grace, you can do what you want to do. I'm going to help you right now. No, you can't. You get under the grace of God and grace will teach you something, or you won't remain under the grace of God. Because Galatians says I can fall away from the grace of God. I can't fall away from His love, but I can fall away from His grace. I can twist grace. Y'all still amen to me? Okay, just hang with me. I love you. But I'm going to tell you this. Some of y'all don't get this either, that the Bible says that the Old Testament was given to us, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, that the Old Testament was given to us for a warning. For a warning. The word is admonition. But the definition of admonition is warning. See, we don't like warnings. We want the perk. But I'm going to give you a warning right now. If you're living in sin, if you're letting lust and pornography and alcohol rule your life, if you can't control your tongue and your attitude, let me help you right now. Grace isn't going to keep following you around and wiping up your stuff. There comes a time when grace stops and says, that's not what I taught you to do. I did not teach you that. And I'm not going to go with you on that. I'm done right here. This is where I'm stopping. You do what you're going to do, but I taught you not to do that. Are y'all still tracking me? You're going to say, why would you say something about pornography? Because about 70% of the men, or 80, what are the last thing I read, that have anything to do with a computer or a smartphone are into pornography. You don't have to amen me because it's just a fact. I would say we need some grace. But I don't need grace to let me do that. I need grace to help me say no. Y'all still tracking me? All right, I love y'all, but you got to get this. Okay, last thing, baptism. You need to know the purpose of baptism. And I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to hit you with this real quick, and we'll shut up on these. But there's more than one baptism in the Bible. The book of Ephesians says there's one baptism. But the book of Hebrews says that there's a doctrine, Hebrews 6:2, there's a doctrine of baptisms, plural. The Bible says this. Here's your baptism right now. You got in a born-again state in the body of Christ because you were baptized. Not in water. You were baptized by the agent, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, that the Holy Spirit has baptized us into the body of Christ. The agent's the Holy Spirit. The element's the body of Christ. And the candidate is us. How did you get born again? I confess my sins and Jesus brought me in. I'm going to tell you what you did. You confess your sins and the Holy Spirit put you in. The Holy Spirit put you in the body. The purpose of the baptism into the body of Christ is salvation. Romans 8:1-2:4 says there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Who's the agent? Jesus. What's the element? The Holy Spirit. Who's the candidate? Us. Now listen to me. We all have the Holy Spirit. We're born again. That's how we got born again, by the Spirit. But then there's also a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But the agent changes. It's not the Holy Spirit now. It's Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit is the element, and we're the candidates. I don't get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not put into that anointing because I speak in tongues. Now, we've thought that for years. People have said, well, you know, you've got to speak in tongues. I'm going to say this to you. I believe there's a whole lot more to the purpose than there is to the perks. And I need to get my eyes on the purpose that Jesus wants me to be baptized in the Spirit. He wants the power of God flowing through me. The purpose of God. I need to get back to that. And then let these other things come with it. And here's the last one. And that is baptism in water. How many of you know we need to be baptized in water? Anybody in here? Okay. Now I'm going to tell you why. You don't get baptized in water to join the church. I mean, you know, good thought, but just doesn't work in the kingdom. Let me read this, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm really done on this, for real. Pastor Gabriel sent them up to play the music before that crooked stick comes out and grabs me by the neck and jerks me off the platform. Hebrews 10. Listen to this. This is 10, 1 and 2. And let me just give you this. Why I need to be baptized in water? Okay, listen to me. If you were baptized in water, and the only reason you were is because your brother got baptized, that's what Colt wants to do. Colt said, I want to get baptized. Why? Well, he doesn't know why. My brother and sister are going to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Some of y'all were baptized for the same reason. Because at your church, or maybe even here, you went through the ordeal of baptism without a thought of the purpose. Some of you may need to be baptized in water. Now, I'm not saying you have to be baptized several times, but is it wrong to be baptized more than once? Absolutely not. Because if I got baptized back there when I was 12 and I don't have a clue what I did, maybe I want to do it now that I'm 30 or now that I'm 50 or now that I'm 67. My dear fellow believers, you need to understand that all of our Jewish ancestors who walked through the wilderness long ago were under the glory cloud and passed through the waters of the sea on both sides. Listen to this. Verse 2. They were all baptized in the cloud of glory, into the fellowship of Moses, and into the sea. They were baptized in the cloud, into Moses, in the sea. They were baptized into Moses, the body of Christ. He's the type of Christ. They were baptized in the cloud, type of the Spirit of God. They were baptized in water. Now let me ask you one question on this. When they were baptized in water, what was the occasion? Can somebody help me real quick? What was the occasion of them going through the Red Sea? Somebody help me quick. Help me. Huh? Leaving Egypt. It's a part of leaving Egypt. What else? Pharaoh was hot on their tail. Can I say tail in here? I guess I can. Okay. He was hot on their tail. He's ready to get them. Moses is... Listen to this. This is so crazy. Moses is praying. He's praying. You know what God said to him? I know y'all don't use it in your house, but God says, shut up. Why don't you quit praying and get to doing something? Why don't you get that rod and hold it up over the water? We're going to have an anointing team who are praying for you because they may not even say, oh Lord God, we prayed you touch them. They may just say, in the name of Jesus, come out or be healed. They may just give a demand. Because of the anointing of God. Does that make sense to y'all? So here's what he told Moses. He said, Moses, quit your whining and get the stick up. He held the stick up. Y'all remember that, right? And the Bible said the waters parted. And I don't care which show you saw last. We saw one where the waters didn't totally part and went on mud and didn't believe that one. And I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. But anyway, the waters parted. They crossed on dry ground. But listen to me. Here's the thing. One of the baptisms is water. They were all baptized in the sea. The Bible says baptized in the sea. When they were... They were going through the water. Pharaoh's right behind them. How many of y'all remember the devil's temptations and the worst ones and the ones that you didn't think you could ever let go of? I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and He brought me in. Baptism in water. Look, it's a sign of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I get that. It's also a sign of my personal death. I have to die and be resurrected in Christ. Y'all still tracking me? I don't know about y'all, but something died. I don't know what died in you. For some people, they came up the same. I'm not sure they understand death in Christ. I've got to die in Christ and come up. That's another one. So I'm following Christ in water baptism. I'm being raised up. I'm myself being buried in Christ and raised alive in Christ. I get that. But I'm going to tell you something else. It's also me putting distance between me and a pursuing spirit. There's a devil after you. Maybe when I get baptized in water, I need to look back to the Red Sea because there's the purpose and find out what the purpose is And the purpose was to give separation. There's a pursuing spirit. We're going to baptize little G2 today. Here's what I know. He's 13 years old. He's a teenager. And there's a pursuing spirit after him. But I believe when he's baptized in water, there's something about faith and regular old water. How many of you know when you're anointed with oil, it's just regular old olive oil? It's not anointed. I mean, it won't do anything. You can go cook food with it. But when it's used by faith, it becomes a conduit of a moving of the Spirit of God. Water baptism is just water. Pastor Gabriel is the agent. The element is water. The candidates are going to be whoever's in the water. But here's what I know. If I'm the one being baptized, I thank God for the agent, my pastor. I thank God I've got water for an element here. But when I go down, I'm going down in a supernatural belief. I'm going down with faith, believing that something's going to be cut off behind me. I'm going to go down and believe that there's a pursuing spirit whose wheels are going to come off his chariot. I'm going to believe that there's a pursuing spirit that's been after me all of my life. But I believe it'll be covered up in the waters of baptism. I just believe by faith that water baptism can do what oil does by the laying on of hands, and that is something supernatural. Would you stand with me today? I'm done. Purpose or perks? So here's your altar call. We need our prayer team to come to the front. Can y'all do that? Are y'all ready for that? Let me give you the altar call right now. If you've not been seeing yourself, listen to me. If you've not been seeing yourself as chosen, as special, as royal, as set aside unto God, if you're not seeing yourself like that, then you really need to come to the altar and say, I need prayer because I've not seen myself the way God's calling me. I've not seen His purpose on me. Here's another one. Maybe you're in hardships. Maybe it's a sickness in your family or a financial issue. You've lost your job. I don't know. But if I'm in hardships, I want to come and say, God, I need Your anointing right now. I'm in a troubled situation, but Your purpose is greater than my problem. And I need help today to get me through this issue. I need the anointing of God. Here's another one. Maybe I need to be born again today. You can walk to the front of this building, ask one of these folk up here to pray with me. I need to be born again. Here's what I believe. They'll lay their hands on you, and they're going to believe that the Holy Spirit, not them, but when they lay their hands on you, they believe the Holy Spirit is going to put you into the body of Christ. You don't get yourself in. You confess Him as Lord, but when you ask Him to save you, the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you in the presence of God, puts you in the body of Christ. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that makes me feel a whole lot more locked in than I just made a decision. Amen. So, there's an altar call that's going to be open to you. Father, I ask you right now to just give us an anointing right now of strength to make up our mind that if we don't know who we are, and we've not been acting like who you made us, then we want to come to this altar. We want to be anointed. We want to receive that. We want the purpose of God to be seen in our life. If we're an older person, we want to complete your purpose, Lord, before we get out of here. So help us. We'll come to the altar and say, pray for me. I want the purpose of God in my life. Maybe I'm in problems and hardships and sickness. I want to say, God, I need your purpose. I know the perk is healing, and I want to be healed, and I want to be delivered, and I want my finances returned, but I don't want to lose your purpose in my problem. And I need some prayer today because I'm in a problem. There's your altar call. If you want to come, I want you to come right now. Just run on up here. Somebody lay hands on you and pray for you right now. Your own self-esteem, who you are, who God has seen you and called you as. Salvation, a problem. God, there's got to be a purpose. There's something bigger than me. And I need your help right now. I'm in trouble. I've got a problem. I've got an issue. I need salvation. Father, we ask you now, just let it flow in our life that your promises. Your purposes are greater than any of your perks. And today we need clarity. We want to know that in a hard time, your purpose is, I've got something better for you. I'm not going to leave you alone. What the enemy's meant is evil, I mean it's good. I'll bring you through this. Lord, help us to get it today so we don't quit. Maybe we twisted the grace of God to our own liking, twisted it to make us feel good about our sin. Peter, Jude, and Paul all said that we cannot use the grace of God to do evil. So, Lord, we need your help today. Because somewhere in our teaching, we've had the perk of grace, and we've let that perk dictate our life instead of the purpose of grace. We need that anointing today in Jesus' name. I'm a parent. I have a child that's not serving God. I'm a grandparent. I have children or grandchildren not serving God. But Lord, your purpose goes through generations. And your purpose is salvation is for me and my house. That's the purpose. I didn't get saved so I'd go to heaven. I'm born again so this will go through generations. And Lord, today I'm going to pray for my generations. I'm praying for those kids and grandkids that the purpose of God will be revealed. So come to the altar. Get someone to agree with you in prayer. Let them say yes with you. Let them say yes with you. It's my grandbaby. It's my great-grandchild. It's my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my husband, my wife. I want the hand of God in their lives. There's a purpose for them.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.